أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد say that means Nabi Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ordering Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say he is Allah هو الله he is Allah the one and only there is only one Allah there is one Allah and he is the only Allah How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is introducing himself to us. Huwa Allah. He is Allah. Ahad. The one and only. This is that same Ahad. We just say Ahad. But if we want to know what is Ahad, then ask Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala. What lazzat he got when he was saying Ahad, Ahad. Qul huwa Allahu Ahad. Allahu Samad. Allah the independent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is totally independent of anything and everything. Whether it is the malaika, whether it is insan, whether it is jinnat, whether it is the dunya, whether it is the planets, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is totally, totally independent. Allah ta'ala requires nothing, nothing. Lam yalid wa lam yulad. He begets not and nor was he begotten. Allah Ta'ala got no ulad, neither is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the ulad of somebody. When we read this ayat, shaitan makes waswasa. Shaitan tends to make waswasa. Then where did Allah Ta'ala come from? This is our iman. That we believe in our Allah. That our Allah was there, He is there, and He will always be there. Where our Allah came from, that's not our job to know. When this type of thought comes into the mind, we recite A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem and we start reciting our karimas. Shaitan will run away. We recite our karimas. If I am working for you, you are a multi-millionaire, you are paying my salary, you give me a car, and you give me a housing allowance, and you giving me food allowance, everything you are taking care of, and I come and ask you, well, where are you getting all these things from? What's your bank balance? Show me your bank balance. And how did you get all this money? It's khilaf-e-adab. It is against adab. So those questions shouldn't come in our mind. If shaitan puts those questions in our mind, same time we recite A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem, same time we start reciting our karimas, recite our imani mujmal, recite our imani mufassar, shaitan will run away. وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ And there is none comparable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This ayat of kufuwan, we can never really understand it unless we are Arabic speaking people. In Arabic there is something called kufwa. Kufwa when they use the word kufwa when we are finding a match for a boy and a girl. They say the girl can only get married to her kufwa. In other words, somebody who is from the same lineage, somebody who has got the same type of beauty, somebody who has got the same type of intellect, somebody who is the same type of wealth, you know, status, everything. They look at all these things, the profession of the person, the profession of the people in her family, and then they find a kufwa, someone who is equal. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ There is no kufwa for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is, in English we say equal. But this word equal, it doesn't really do justice. Whenever we come across these words, then I always remember my Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahab. The way he said it so beautifully that one night in the majlis, Maulana Abdul Rahim Khan was there also. Maulana just burst out laughing, Maulana Khan. Hazrat was explaining Sakina. And then he says, but there is no word in the English dictionary to explain Sakina. Then he kept quiet for a while and then he says, yes, and how can they explain? How can they be the explanation of the word Sakina in the English dictionary when they don't have it? They don't have Sakina. How can they explain what it is? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq that we recite the Surah Ikhlas. The more we recite Surah Ikhlas, the more pakka our iman will become. We recite Surah Ikhlas, we ponder over the meaning. The last two surahs of the Quran Sharif is Surah Falaq and Surah Nas. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, jadu was done on Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was a Jewish person. He got his daughters to perform this jadu upon Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And generally ladies are more prone to this jadu thing. Ladies are more prone to this jadu. So this person, Labid bin Asim, his name was Labid bin Asim. He got his daughters to make jadu on Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So how they did, they performed this jadu. There was a young person who used to make Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's khidmat. So they convinced this person to get Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's comb. And this person gave them the comb of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They took this comb of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They took, according to some mufassirin, they say it was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hair mubarak. According to some, they say somebody else's hair. According to some, they say it was some thread, some fiber. So whatever it was, but it was some type of thread. They took this thread and they tied it on the teeth of that comb. They made 11 knots on this thread. And then they took date palm fiber. They covered this whole comb in date palm fiber and whatever now mantra and whatever they read on there. And they took this and they put it in a well. There was a dry well, very, you know, little water in that well. They put it at the bottom and they put a boulder on the top of it. The effect of this jadu was that with regards to dunyavi matters, remember with regards to dini matters, it never affected Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But with regards to dunyavi matters, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for a period of about 6 months, he would forget. Like if he did something, he would forget that he did that particular thing. But it was only with regards to dunyavi matters, not with regards to dini matters. So this continued for about 6 months. At the end of the 6 months, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, two malaika came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some say Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam and Hazrat Mikail alayhi salam. So they had a conversation. This one is sitting at the head side of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one is sitting at the feet side of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the one angel asks, is asking the one at the foot side, that what is he suffering from? Pointing at Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, what is he suffering from? So the one at the foot side is saying, he has been bewitched. In other words, jadu has been done on him. So again, this one says, who did the jadu? Who performed the jadu? So the one at the foot side says, Labid bin Asim, who was a Jewish munafiq. He was a Jewish munafiq. So the one at the head side says, on what did they cast this spell? On what did they put this jadu? So the one at the feet side says, on the teeth of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's comb. So the one at the head side, he is asking the other one, he says, and where is this comb now? So the one at the feet side is saying, it is in the covering of a date seed which is buried under a rock in a well called Zarwan. Exact location of where it is. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he woke up, according to some narrations, he went himself. According to some narrations, he sent some ashab radiallahu anhum. They went and they removed this comb. And also these two surahs were given to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Suratul Falaq and Suratul Nas. If you add up the verses in these two surahs, it comes to 11. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started reciting Surah Falaq and Surah Nas. As he is reciting one verse, one knot is opening up.